Praise the Lord.
Let's all stand. Let's go before Him in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we appreciate, Lord, another opportunity to gather. Lord, just thinking about Your grace and mercy, Lord, this week. And Lord, how good You've been to us, Lord. And Lord, a home You have prepared for us, Lord. We're going to sing about tonight. We just appreciate, Lord, and love You for all the things You've done for us and all the things You've given us. Lord, all the revelation You freely bestowed on us. Lord, just have Your way in the remainder of this service. Let everything be done for Your glory and Your honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Isn't He wonderful? Amen. I'd like to turn to page 166 and only believe. When we all get to heaven. Amen. Thinking about sitting about around that apple tree, like Brother Branham said, and talking for 1,000 years maybe. Amen. What a wondrous time. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace in the mansions bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place. Page 381, same book. Amen. We will sit and talk about what he's done for us. Amen. Where he brought us from. Amen. What a day. Amen. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, the same book. Amen. This world is crumbling around us, saints. Don't want to be here. Amen. Much longer. There's a country far beyond the starry sky. There's a city where there never comes a night. With her faithful we shall go. In that city where the land is alive. In that city where the land is alive. In that city where there cometh no night. I'm a mansion over there, and it's free from toll and care. I am going where the land is days of sunshine, but we know that the sun which shines upon us now so bright will be changed to clouds of rain till we go to that city where the land is alive. In that city and it's
disappointments all the while, and our fondest hopes but meet with bitter blight. Though by night we weep, the morning brings a smile. In that city where the land is alive. Oh, in that city where the land is alive. Amen. In that city where the cometh no night. I've a mansion over there, and it's free from cold air. I am going where the land is alive. Then let sunlight fade and twilight bring its gloom. Not a shadow can my blissful soul affright.
And trials he helped us through. Amen. Talk to our brothers about it, our sisters. Amen. And share our stories. Amen. What a day that'll be, saints. Amen. We should be excited for it. Amen. Amen. Looking forward to getting out of here. Amen. Brother Settles, you mind taking up the offering? Amen. Master of the wind is what I was thinking. Amen. I know the master of the wind.
I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storms, make the sun shine again. I know.
Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just adore you, Lord, for what you've done. Lord, we adore you for taking the time to listen to us, Lord. Lord, to meet our needs. Lord, maybe sometimes just to talk to you. Lord, to tell you what's on our hearts and what's on our minds, Lord, even though you already know. Such sweet fellowship, Lord. Lord, we know there's many things that people go through in this life. Lord, maybe sometimes we'll never understand what they are about each other. We don't have to, Lord. We've got to take it to you in prayer, Lord, and you know all things. Lord, you know how to take care of every situation. Lord, as many here tonight, Lord, raise their hand signifying a need. Lord, you know what that need is. Lord, you know what's on each heart. Lord, the ones that can't be here, Lord, I pray you'll meet their needs also in such a mighty way. Lord, just comfort. Be with them. Lord, just bless them. Lord, keep your hand of protection over on each and every one of them. Lord, we love and appreciate each and every one, Lord. Always want to hold each other up in prayer. Lord, always heartfelt for each other's needs. Lord, we just ask you to meet them tonight in your precious name. And Lord, as we come here tonight, Lord, to hear thy word, Lord, we know the revelation, Lord, is needed in this age, greater than any other age. Lord, we ask you for revelation tonight, Lord. Just dip it into our hearts. Lord, we didn't come here by chance. Lord, we came here to hear what you have to speak to us tonight, Lord. Lord, we want to sit here intently, Lord, and listen. Lord, and then only listen, but take it out with us, Lord, and let it live through our lives. To express to this world today that you're still alive. Lord, we appreciate your Holy Spirit. Lord, we appreciate you being here with us. Lord, we ask you to take over the remainder of the service now. Let your will be done. And we'll give you glory and honor in all things. In thy name we pray, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I know, Master of the wind, I know, Maker of the rain, he can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the Master of the wind. Oh, sing that little chorus. Only believe, only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible.
Father, we trust that you will help us tonight to believe everything, Lord, and be able to receive it by faith. Lord, we'd be able to understand these things and become a greater living reality within our lives. And Lord, knowing we're getting closer and closer, as we speak about many times, because Lord, it's exciting to talk about, because we love the appearing of the Lord. So we ask that you would just bless us again with the word tonight that will encourage us and strengthen us, Lord, to get ready for that great moment. And Father, we'll just commit ourselves into thee again, that you would get the glory and the honor through everything. In your wonderful, precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful little song. Only believe. Amen. If only we can believe what God has given to us in this great, wonderful, tremendous hour. Amen. Just refresh your mind again back on that little subject and just reading John 14, chapter 20th verse. At that day you shall know. Oh, it gets more precious all the time. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Amen. May God bless reading his word, and you may be seated. Again, I'll try not to hold you too long this evening, being a Thursday evening. And again, just can't believe Brother Pitts drove all that way. Amen. You drove a long ways for tonight, brother. Amen. But we appreciate having our brother with us. It's just amazing that he does that at his age. You know, it's just, and I've told him before, I said, you know, I'd most rather he wouldn't by himself at night, because it's, you know, you just hate to see him out there on the road by himself. But we know the Lord will protect him and guide him if his desire is to be here. Amen. But we find here, after renewing our minds back to that scripture, we've been on this little subject, at that day ye shall know. Maybe Lord willing, Sunday we'll finish up on that, but because there's a few more things I probably won't get to this evening. But in thinking about that again, and how precious that is, in that day you shall know. That is just so glorious. Do you realize when a person knows just how jubilant you can be and how free in God, and just feel the peace of God in your heart, which is part of the fruits of the Spirit, which we'll read tonight, and the joy that you can have when you know, you actually know that he's in you. That's just, to me, it's just an amazing, wonderful revelation to have, to know that he's in you. And it's not sitting back and then, you know, you hear the word or you sit down and read it and then just sit there and then start trying to trust it, that he's there. Or trying to just believe that he is in you. But he didn't say that. He said, in that day you shall know, you know. And that's what I just trust that you'll get out of this as we've gone into this and refresh your minds back to it. But before we go on to some quotes now, I'd like to read first, just turn our Bibles to the Galatians, the fifth chapter. Galatians 5, and let's begin here, probably the 16th verse. Excuse me. And just refresh your mind to something here before we read these quotes. Galatians 5th chapter begins 16th verse. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's, Paul must have understood something here, and he must have had something so real that he knew that if you done what he said here, if you walked in the Spirit, let's read again, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill. Ye shall not fulfill. Let me repeat it again. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now let's bounce over before I read on. Let's go over to the seventh verse, or of the sixth chapter. Sixth chapter, seventh verse. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. As I've went back through these things, as I said, and let me draw your attention to it, you can see the assurance that Paul had by having this revelation. And I understanding Christ was in him. You know, and that's, and he makes many statements through the things that he wrote to the people of this assurance that he had, that by knowing Christ was in him, and how we can be the same way and be assured and know that everything's going to be just exactly the way God wants it to be when you know he's in you. And no wonder he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in all the world. Now, I wonder how many times we've really, with this revelation I'm speaking of, really had that great of an understanding of it and a great enough revealing to you personally that when trials come along, problems arise, that this is truly in your heart. Greater is he that's in me. Because sometimes it may feel like everything around you, circumstances has come against you, maybe men on the job, maybe problems at home, maybe things falling apart, just all kinds of things can make it feel like the world's closing in on you at times. But can this revelation of understanding these things, can we really rejoice knowing for sure that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world? And know for sure, if God be for me, who can be against me? And there may be all kinds of things come against you, and maybe not even so much yet, but maybe in the near future come against you. But how are we going to stand when this great press hits? How are we going to stand then? How are we going to stand on all these things that I've spoken about the last few weeks? Will it really be able to hold? Will it be a light in your life that others can see that it held? You know? So oftentimes what we see now is when things go wrong, we see the failures. We see what the failures does to us. We see what the test does to us. We see what the trials does to us. We get weakened. When the test comes, we get pushed into the valley. And we get very sensitive of being burdened and problemed and things. But that's when all this word is to come into place. Now just think, what would our Lord Jesus look like, and what would his actions have been? And it would have been written in the scripture if it would have been. But what would have been all of his actions would have come to that time of going to the cross? All the persecution he went through, being nailed to the cross, hanging there on the cross, and people still doing all their garbage, and sit there and still hang into that cross and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I wonder how many of us could stand up to that kind of a test. And even maybe not that great of a test. And yet stand there with such an assurance that as these tests faced us and we go through these trials, that we're able to express the word instead of carnal feelings, instead of flesh, where people see us walk after the flesh instead of after the Spirit. See? And only one true way to walk after the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, is for the Spirit to be in you through a new birth. Otherwise, it's just some kind of an imagination, you know. You think, I'm gonna walk in the Spirit. I'm going to make this decision to walk in the Spirit. You can't make no decision to walk in the Spirit. Christ has to be in you to walk in that Spirit, you see. But we've got some kind of imaginary thing in our mind that, oh, I'm going to decide, and I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to walk in the Spirit today. Well, you just go ahead and try it, because it ain't going to work. Christ has to be in you. It ain't a decision you make. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. It ain't going to happen, friends. Okay? He said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, now, if it wasn't necessary to have the new birth and be born again to do this, then a lot of people could try it and maybe get by with it and maybe work a few things out. But God made it in a way it's impossible to work it out without him being in you. You see? For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, there's the thing. But if ye be led of the Spirit, okay? In other words, Christ in you. ye are not under the law. Okay? Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. Now, we're just going to kind of go through some of these things, and for a reason. He says, but if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. Okay? You know what all these are, but I'll just refresh your mind back to it. It's an act between a man and a woman. And, of course, since Christ came, now it's just, Jesus said, if a man look upon a woman to lust at her, hath already committed adultery. And he saw it already. Okay? So we know what adultery is. Excuse me. Next thing was fornication, which is unclean living. The sex desires driving them, causing them to do unclean things. Okay? That's what fornication is. Uncleanliness, which was next, was impure thinking, filthy thoughts, immoral thoughts. Okay? Lasciviousness is wantonness, lustfulness, easy to excite to lust. Okay? So just keep these things in mind. Idolatry is anything you would put before God. Your wife, your job, your home, any material things, etc. Anything you place a greater value, think more of, something excites you more than Christ, the Word. Have you got anything like that in your life? Huh? Is fishing more exciting than Christ? That sounds simple, but I'm just using that for an example. Is hunting more exciting than Christ? Is going to the fair more exciting than Christ? Oh. Maybe we've got a little bit of idolatry in our life. Yeah. Because these things are more appealing, more exciting, easier to do, easier to get into than studying the Word. Easier than praying. Easier than being at service, whatever it may be. Much easier. It's easier to attach yourself to. It's idolatry. Okay? Let's go on. Witchcraft, which is using charm to attract someone to do wrong. Hatred is to love someone less than another. And he tells us in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, what love was. And we find out here, hatred is to love less than another. Wow. Do I have less long-suffering for another one? Another brother or sister differently? Do I have a little more patience for one another one than I do the other one? Am I a little more long-suffering for one than I am the other one? Hatred is to just love one less than the other. Wow. Well, you may have thought hatred is something that we're ready to grab a gun and go shoot somebody. You have to get to that point to call it hatred. No. It's just to love one less than another. Remember, and I've heard Brother Pitts mention it many times. With Brother Branham, they said he couldn't tell his enemy from anything. Maybe from his best buddy, he couldn't tell the enemy from that to this. Because he lived the Word. That's why. See? Are we that way? Can people see us that way? That you can't tell your enemy from your best buddy? Huh? Wow, I'm afraid maybe we fail some on that. But these are things in the Scripture that proves what the difference is, new birth and not being born again. Of walking in the Spirit, not walking in the Spirit. Now again, these things mean something because of what we're going to read here in a little bit. Because we have to know, friends, Christ is in us. Okay? And it's impossible to know Christ is in you when the Word gets broke. Because Christ is the Word. we're just living in some kind of imaginary, fascinated land. Imagination in our mind, Christ is in us, when he really isn't. You see? But we've got to know, because he said, in that day, you shall know that I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me, and I'm in you, and you're in me. You're going to know without one speck of doubt. By how? Saying you believe? No. No. Believing goes with it. But that's not how you're going to know. Because a preacher told me? No. No. Because my uncle told me? No. Mommy and daddy told me? No. There's only one way to know. That's what the Word tells you, what you do if Christ is in you. There is nothing else to go by. Nothing else. Is it a revelation? Absolutely. Because your body will come subject to that revelation. See? And I know, saints, it may seem like, especially the last few months, I've been picking. It's not picking. I'm trying to get you to get to this point. You know. How do you think I would feel, friends? Now, let's just think humanly. And buddies and friends and brothers and sisters. How do you think I would feel when it comes down to that time of that rapture? And many miss it because I did not tell you the truth. I kept covering it over with honey, sugar, made it sweet, made it sound like you're going in regardless what you do. Like half of these people out there, or more than half of them, as I've mentioned before, the funerals. Somebody dies and all of a sudden they go to heaven. They're Christian when they die. Just because they died. Do you think I'm that kind of deceiver? By no means I'm not. By God's grace. I want you to know for sure now who you are. And where you're going. Because on that day, friends, when things begin to really happen, it's going to be too late. So do I love you? Yes. As a daddy would chasten his son, so does our Heavenly Father chasten us with the Word of God. Because he loves us. Love is corrective. Will there be some not be able to hold up to it? Yes. Some won't agree with it. Some will think, oh, it's not like the rest of the preachers in the message. I get tired of hearing it. Yes, there'll be those. Because they're not predestinated. But I am speaking to the predestinated to let you know you've got to know without a doubt. And it ain't a guessing game. It ain't something you're going to try to hope to get that place. It ain't a thing trusting. Get the trust business out of your mind. Yeah, the scripture tells us of trusting him, this, and there. The prophet talks about trust, but it's all in its right place. This is something you've got to know. You see? Just go on. Variance, which is quarreling, and it's being not in accord, disputing with someone. Okay. Now, if you think about this and you got worldly friends, you know, maybe talk to, you see this stuff all the time in their life. Almost every one of them. But this is what Paul's going to say in a little bit. Emulations, which is trying to be equal by imitating someone or something else. Yeah. Okay. Wrath, which is violent, anger, wanting to punish with vengeance. But the Word said vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We'll not be having vengeance in our heart. Speaking about that, emulations, you know, that's why I was talking about one time when we was talking about men with beards and mustaches and all stuff. Do you realize how many men, believe me, I've talked to men before. I am a man, and I've talked to men. So many men want a mustache or a goatee or something like that to look like somebody else. Pattern after somebody else. Is it wrong? Yeah, it's wrong then. Absolutely. Yeah, but that's what most of it is anymore. They want a pattern or look like some movie star or some country western singer or some grandpa down the road or something like that. They want to look like them. Yeah. Instead of just being their self. But I think our prophet was a prime example of what we should be. Yeah. Strife, which is contentions with another, or to compete in competition with each other, or try to outdo the other. Seditions, to stir up discord, to stir up discontent. You ever seen somebody like that, just constantly want to stir up discontent and discord and things? Yeah. I work with people like that all day long. Heresies, which is disunion. Envyings, a feeling of discontent and ill feelings because of another's advantages or possessions, or resentful or dislike of another who has something desirable that you want. Yeah. Look at that. Murders is to kill or destroy one another's character. And you can do it right with your tongue. Murder someone's character with your tongue. I've been murdered more than once. Yeah. Many times. To cause others to think less of another. Do we say anything that would cause someone else to think a little less of them by what you're trying to say? Because you want to try to get your point across? That person's not as, because you don't love them, because you hate them. You love them a little less than another one, so you try to say things that would make them look a little less than somebody else. Drunkenness is overpowered or to lose self-control or excessiveness. Okay. Revelings is to make merry or to be boisterous, letting loose, and acting foolish. Wow. How many of these things do we pass? Or how many of these things do we fail? Okay. And picking back up in 21st verse, and such like of those of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things, I don't know. You know, people think I get blunt when I say some things, but I'm going to tell you what's about as blunt as you can be. How else could he have said it? They that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So what's that means? There's only one other place to go. Lost. They do such things. See, these things has to be something that's expressed that we pass the test with. All these things we got to pass the test when we're tested. If we inherit the kingdom. If we can't pass them, we don't inherit the kingdom. So is actions important? We read about what Brother Bram said. And we, if we got time, we'll hit on it just a little bit tonight. So is these actions important that the prophet spoke about? Our actions declare him, Christ? Absolutely. It's very important. It's between life and death. Yeah. It's very important. Okay. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is if Christ is in you. And this is the fruit it bears if Christ is in you. Is love, which you mentioned some of the things, 1 Corinthians 13. Remember, love suffered long, is kind, gentle, suffered long, all these different things. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Well, some people never have joy. Honestly. I mean, some people never have joy. When's the last time somebody come up to you and said, "Ah, you're just so full of joy, and you just seem so happy and blissful. You know, you just seem to be happy all the time. What do you got? You know, when's the last time somebody seen that in you? Or do they always never have nothing to say because you always look like some old bulldog walking around? Never have a split in a joy about anything." Just grudging the ground you walk on. Has anybody noticed that you have joy? Did they tell somebody else and then you hear it in the grapevine? Well, that person, you know, that guy, he's so friendly and joyful, I'll tell you all the time. Just joy to be around him, you know. When's the last time he said that about you? Huh? Or do they hate to be around you? Because you're grumbling, growling, and complaining, and murmuring. I'm going to tell you what. Important? Yes, it's important. Because people have to see you have joy. Isn't that a token, friends? All this is life. Okay? It's not just supposed to be spit on and thrown under the rug and phooey, it's just a misprint in the Bible. Oh, no, it's not. It is what we are supposed to be. See? Joy. People are supposed to see you have joy. You ought to see you've got the joy of God in your heart. Yeah. You're happy to be alive. You're happy what God's blessed you with. You're happy because you have eternal life. You're happy because God has filled you with His Holy Spirit. You're so happy. And guess what? People see it. When's the last time you went around saying about that old grump? Always complaining. Ain't got nothing good to say. You think they want to be around you? No. No, no, no. But they should be able to draw virtue from you, from the strength. Yeah. Strength. Okay? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Peace. Wonder how many of us really have peace. Yeah. Long-suffering. That goes in with that love. Long-suffering. Yeah. Gentleness. I was sitting at a restaurant and eating with a man, and he just, nothing but complaining. You know, the waitress was taking too long on this, that, and the other, and blah, blah, blah. You know, just nothing was making him happen. I said, well, maybe she's new. You know, maybe still learning. Why ain't they got more people? I said, well, maybe some of them called in sick. You know, I was just, every time he'd come up with something, I'd come up with something, you would try to explain to him why maybe it's going this way, you know. But he's just looking at the dark side all the time, all the time, all the time, you know. But I was trying to show him the light side every time, every time, every time, you know. But that's what this world needs, a little more light side. They need people that shows light instead of something dark all the time. Yeah. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. How gentle are we? We're handling things with people. How gentle are we? You know? Are we understanding about things? Are we? And I'll say this because it happens a lot, and believe me, friends, I deal with it a lot. Probably the worst customers I have at the top is old people. Yeah. They're the grumpiest, the growliest, the know-it-alls. I mean, you name it, they got it all. It just comes with old age, I guess. And that's the ones I really try to work on when they come in. I try to make them feel young again time they leave. But it just comes with age. People get grumpy, grumpy, grouchy, grouchy, this, that, the other. I hope the saints here don't get that. Yeah. One of the prophets said about he didn't want to be like that one with old baggy arms, you know, getting old and getting grumpy and all this, that, and other. Because he's seen it too at that time, you know. But, and like he said, it'd be terrible to seal your testimony that way. Just because you're old, you get grumpy and grouchy and can't be happy, no joy. Well, Brother Steve, you had the problems in your body, you got mine. Well, I understand. We'll all get there if the Lord tarries that long. But still, is that a reason to do that? Is that the excuse? I'm old. I can be grumpy because I'm old. Well, you can be grumpy. But I got joy in my heart for what God's done for me. And if you keep in mind what He's done for you, I'm sure joy would be shining in your heart too. Yeah. If you just keep it in mind. Yeah. So we find here, let's go on. Goodness. My. Faith. See. Meekness. You know, Brother Bram talked about the deacons when they go to talk to somebody, go with meekness. You know, not with a know-it-all attitude and, oh, do this, this, that. No, go with meekness, gentleness, kindness. You know. Temperance. Against such there is no law. You see, when you're walking in the Spirit, against such there is no law. No. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. That's how they can fulfill these things, you see. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You see? So what did Paul just do there? He was expressing what a Holy Ghost-filled son or daughter of God does versus one that isn't. And he plainly told us, if we're walking in the lust of the flesh, adultery, fornication, all these things, emulations, and envy and strife and all that, and hatred, you ain't going in, friend. So that means it has to be overcome. And the only way it can be overcome is get in Christ. And it's all gone. You say, you're wrong. No, I'm not. I'll show you. So let's go on here real quickly now. I'm trying not to have my half hour is just about done. Let's hurry up. Who's this Melchizedek? But look, paragraph 71. When this body receives the Spirit of God, now, isn't that Christ in you? Huh? When this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you. Wow. It throws this body in subjection to God. Now, I'm a believer of that. And guess what? By God's grace, I'm manifester of that. That is how you're going to know if Christ is in you. Okay? If you're just saying, I believe it, and I trust this for me, like I've heard before, it ain't never going to happen, friends. You have to be born again. Look what we brought those last few months before we got into this part of it. It throws this body in subjection to God. He goes, hallelujah. No wonder he did. He said, he that's born of God doth not commit sin. He cannot sin. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, there's no more desire for sin. Sin business goes out the door because your desire has changed. There you are. See, that throws your body subject. That throws. I love the words he used because it's so true and such a reality. What if you got a baseball? If I had a baseball in my hand, if I don't throw it, it's going to sit right there. Is it not? But if I throw it, there's what behind that? A force. It throws your body. What is that force? Desire. Because every man and woman operates off desire. Whatever your desire is, that's what you'll do. Just plain and simple. Yeah. So there's no other terms to it. You are what your desire is. But God gives his people a God-given desire to serve him, love him, and obey him, see? You don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking. How many times have you probably heard somebody in life before say that? Or maybe you said that yourself before. Oh, if I could just quit this. If I could just quit lying. If I could just quit being mean. If I could just quit having a temper. If I could just quit having hatred. If I could just quit having emulation. If I could just quit having envy and strife. Just get in Christ. Paul showed us, it's over. If you're in Christ. If you walk after the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, all these other things. You see? If I could just get, or if I could just quit drinking, or if I could just quit, and he says, just get in Christ, and it's all gone. Because your body is subject to the Spirit. What Spirit? The Holy Spirit, Christ in you. You see? It's no more subject to things of the world. They're dead. Now let me stop here before I read a little more. Real quickly here, before I close. I'm not even close to where I want to go tonight. But you tell me you aren't going to know. The desire in you has pushed you to keep from doing that wrong. You don't think you're going to know that? when you knew you used to have trouble with it before, and now it's no trouble now. You might have used to struggle to try to keep from doing that thing, whatever it may be, and now it's just, I don't want nothing to do with it. Do that? Why would I do that? I don't want nothing to do with it. You know? It's like people that, maybe God has filled them with the Holy Ghost, maybe they used to be a drunk. And before they might have tried to quit drinking just because, maybe to be healthier. And they just couldn't seem to do it. And they'd try, and they just couldn't seem to do it. And all of a sudden, when Christ filled them with the Holy Spirit, well, they ain't even more desire for that thing. Don't want nothing to do with it. It's craziness, you know? I know for a fact, when I was young and wanted to listen to crazy music I've talked about before, I just wanted to hear it. Oh, it was just so nice to listen to it. I loved that old country music, that old wang, and this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden, it becomes sickening. I couldn't stand it. And now I hear it. I can't stand it. I think, how can somebody stand to listen to that trash? You know? The desire's different. You see? It's that simple. It ain't trying to quit this and try. Just get in Christ, and it's all gone. Just as simple as it can be. It's not hard. Just get in Christ. That's all it is. Simple. Because your body is subject to the Spirit. It's no more subject to the things of the world. You see? I was no more subject to the things of that country music once I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I was no more subject to it. No. And that's when God really began to deal with my heart. I told you before the little story. You know, I was going down the road, and it was very late at night, and I was listening. Back then, it was 8-tracks. You young people probably ain't never even seen 8-track. Had an 8-track in playing, and I just felt something on the inside. Something was dealing with me so strong, so great. And just something spoke to my heart. A lot of a voice, but it might as well have been. That's how strong it was. Said to me, take them tapes and throw it in. Remember when the truck quit running? The truck quit running. That's when the Lord really started dealing with me. I was out there all by myself, clear out in the boondocks, nobody around. Truck quit running. I'm just sitting there. And something spoke to my heart and said, throw that music out, those tapes out. This truck will start. But I want you. I want you. And I knew it was something I wasn't used to dealing with. Something really real. I took every one of those tapes, gathered them all up on that back road. Probably the plastic still down the weeds somewhere to this day. Took all of them and gathered them up, rolled that wind out, and pitched them over that bank. I turned that key again, and that truck started right up. And I went on home. And I went home, and I prayed. Yeah. God was trying to show me. But then, when he done what he did, you couldn't have given me 500 of them to play every day and the best player to put it in. No. It was gone. I was done with it. Then, it was sickening. Then I could hear the stupidity out of it. Susie leaving George and Henrietta run out with this woman, this, that, and the other. Then I could see the stupidity of it. Yeah. But until that, oh, it's just, oh yeah, I like that, you know. Get in the groove of it, you know, like some stupid idiot. Yeah, like some carnal flesh dying. Yeah. But when God got done, that was stupid. That was ignorance, craziness, filth, trash. I hated it. Thank God for the day I hated it. Amen. Thank God for the day I hated everything that wasn't Christ. Yes. Oh my. Thank God for his mercy, his love. I'm just trying to share a few things to you, show you what a real experience is. A real changing of desire. People tell me they've had a change of desire and had a soul change and they just can't leave things the world go. Get out of here. You might have yourself convinced, but this word says you have it. Because I have already went through it and I know what it does. How many has went through that and knows what it does? You see? Amen. All right? So he says here, and then when you become subject to the Spirit, it throws your whole being subject to the Spirit. Why don't you come up, Sister Nesbitt, so I can get closed up here. And then when you become subject to that Spirit, it throws your whole being subject to that Spirit. Now remember, we're a triune being. Is that right? We're flesh, spirit, and soul. When you are filled with His Spirit, Christ comes in. That whole being comes subject to the Spirit. Yes. The flesh, the spirit, and the soul. Everything is under subjection. Glory. Now we're talking about Christ being in you. For real. You see. And that Spirit is nothing in the world but this seed word made manifest and quickened. Hallelujah, made alive. And when the Bible says, I quote this many times, but just let it soak in a little extra tonight. And when the Bible says, don't do this, that body quickly turns to it. See what I'm saying about throwing the tapes out? Getting filled with the Holy Ghost? It quickly turns to it. I didn't have to struggle with it no more. I didn't go through a store and try to see if there's another one. Maybe I could check out and see if it. Maybe I could just listen one more. No. It was gone. The body quickly comes subject to it. That's why I a little bit doubt when people say they get filled with the Holy Ghost and something doesn't happen. There isn't something quickly takes place. I've got just a little bit of wonder, how could this be real? You know, when they're struggling and trying to get into this, and then if they get a little too close to that, they get back into this, and come on now, friends. Surely God's bigger than that. I'll go by what He says. A lot of people will make excuses because they haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, and so they make excuses. Well, now, you ain't going to get rid of that easy now, brother. It just ain't that easy now. Remember, we're in flesh and this, that, and the other. But I'm going to go what He says. Because I know it's happened to me. Yeah. Don't do this. The body quickly turns to it. There's no question. And some people, that's all they do is get done. The word comes along and then it's nothing but a bunch of questions. Now, Brother Steve, I don't know about it. No, Pastor, I don't know about it. Well, now this. I don't know about that. There's no question to it. Nope. He says, and what is it? And you know what that is when it's like what I just got done expressing? Now listen to what he says. I don't know how many of you have had that kind of experience in your life. I don't know. But by God's grace, I have. But listen to what he says now. Now talk about joy, peace. Talk about make you happy. Yeah. And what is it? It's the earnest of the resurrection. It's the down payment. It's the down payment, friends. This body will be raised up again. Because it's already started. When you see that life come in you, you're already starting up, friends. Yes, and there's going to come a final change one of these days. You're going to take on immortal instead of mortal. But when you come subject to this word, and as you're coming subject to this word, Christ is in you, you're already starting that, friends. And you're going to come to a final change. Oh, my. It's already started. It was once subject to sin. And mire and corruption. But now it's got the earnest. It's got the down payment. It's turned heavenly. Can we say that about our lives? It's turned heavenly. Wow. It's turned heavenly. That's the earnest or the down payment that you're going in the rapture. Wow. It's the earnest, he repeats. Have you got the earnest? A something really changed your life, and you know for sure. I'm not talking about saying, oh, God changed my life, and then you just keep on doing the same things you did before you was saying you was born again. What's the change? What's changed? Does somebody just saying a wrong, twisting something, just a little wrong direction at you, and you take it a little wrong way, and then anger flares up? That's what it did years ago? Still ain't stopped? You call that the new birth? You change? You call that your body quickly coming subject to it? In closing, I'll say this. What kind of a life would we have had to look at and observe of the prophet, William Aaron Brown, if he'd have been like a lot of people in this message today that says they're born again? I think it'd been pretty nasty to have to look at. Yeah. It'd been pretty sad to have to look at it. And guess what? What he preached, he would have not been lined up with it. But what he preached, he was lined up to it. And people could look at him and see it in his life. Now, we didn't get that opportunity. We can only go by what people said they seen. Maybe reading the messages of things happening, he tells about it and so forth. But we know by what we've read, what people has lived with him, around him, and knows him, and seen things happen, the things he did, we know he had the life. Yeah. He had something that a lot of people don't have in this message. A lot of people. He had something real. And that's what I'm trying to point to get you to. That you truly will know Christ is in you. It ain't just putting claims and this, that, and the other. Yes, claims goes with different things. Claiming this, claiming that. But we're talking about knowing whether he's in you or not. For real. And our lives prove that he's in us. And guess what? When's that going to show up? When things are going smooth? When the trials and tests strike, that's when you know. It's pretty easy to live a sweet, kind, gentle life and everything when everything's going good and no problems, no trials, no tests, no nothing going on. Got plenty of money, nice job, nice family, and everything's just going just fine. But let things fall apart and then see what we've got. That's when it's really showing up. Because it's the trying of your faith, friends. It's more precious than gold. Yes. It lets you know where you stand. And others know where you stand in that same time. Yeah. It should be so simple, friends. So simple. But yet so powerful to know Christ is in you. And what happens when Christ is in you. Oh, so glorious. Again, and I'll say this, it doesn't mean you'll never make a mistake. You may get trapped into something. But if you do, you're going to cry out, God, forgive me. Put it under the blood immediately and cry out to God to give you whatever it takes to overcome that. Yes. Because we'll have battles in the flesh. Oh, yeah. There'll be troubles come. But that's why we need him every moment in our life. Every step we take. It be Jesus Christ. Amen. But just remember, tomorrow you may be faced with something really hard. What are you going to do with it? What am I going to do with it, you see? Oh, Lord, help me be able to go through it all the way. Because looking at me go through it and have overcome and not fall for that thing lets me know I'm on the right track. Yes. Trial after trial, test after test. And you're passing them. But you know you're an overcomer. Yeah. You don't do like you used to do before. Now you stay with the Word all the way through. Glory. And that's a down payment, friends. You're going in. Because this is something you can't do yourself. No. It has to be Christ in you. I live, but yet it's not I. It is Christ that liveth in me, Paul said. And the life which I now live, it by faith. Of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He goes on to say, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Now, friends, we ought to be so thankful to have the word today. The truth of the hour. Because it's really real. We don't have to go around. You know, so many people claim to be Christians, believers, and so on, and they go around and don't even know nothing who they are, what they are, or nothing. Not a clue. They don't have an idea even what they are for sure. But we're living in a time when God has blessed us to we could know really who we are. When you really find out Christ is in you, oh, what riches, what glory it is. As we read in the scripture, you see, blessings, hallelujah, to know Christ is in you. That's what will hold you through the storm, friend. Amen. Let us all stand. Praise his wonderful name. I wasn't too hard on you tonight, was I? Amen. I didn't even scream at you. Amen. But I hope I got to the point to where you know what he's talking about. That word saying, you see. Amen. Because remember, too, it's the truth that will set you free. Not a man trying to cover things up and honeycoating things and not letting you see reality. That ain't going to set you free. But the truth will set you free. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. I love him. He's wonderful. Got a song you want to sing? Amen. One that comes to my mind is, it's you. Go ahead, brother. We can sing that too. Amen. Let's sing that. Do you believe the word? Then you believe God. I believe God, I believe God, ask what you will and it shall be done, just trust and obey, believe what I say, I believe God, well I believe God. I believe God, ask what you will and it shall be done. Just trust and obey, believe what I say. I believe God. Oh, it's wonderful to be able to believe and have revelation of that belief. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we truly have deemed this another great and wonderful privilege to be here gathered together with saints of like a precious faith. And Lord, just asking once more that you'd help every one of us. Lord, just if there's one that's not filled with the Holy Spirit, fill us with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Oh God, to give us a true baptism. Oh God, where you could express and live your life through to where it'd be you living and not us. And know, oh God, that those things, as Apostle Paul said, would be a living reality about you living in us, Lord, and Christ in us, and all these different things, and the glory of it, the riches of it, Lord. It's so wonderful. Asking now that you just go with us one more time and keep us safe upon the highways as we travel. And again, Lord, just may that precious holy desire be burning in our hearts to be here the next service if we possibly can. Lord, again, we could give you the glory and the honor through everything. In the wonderful, precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I love him. Do you love him? Amen. Amen. He's wonderful. You're dismissed. May God richly bless you. Praise the Lord.